Want to get smarter about investing? Then tune into the Capital Ideas podcast from Capital Group, home of American Funds Distributors, Inc., one of the world's leading asset managers. Learn from portfolio managers with decades of experience by listening to the Capital Ideas podcast today.
Millions of people in Texas are without safe drinking water. Our White House reporter has the latest on the federal efforts to help after severe winter weather. Plus, with so much chatter about GameStop, just how do Redditors find the next hot stock?
We were kind of sitting there going, you know, like, what exactly happened within the Wall Street Bets community that actually sent these shares going off, that actually sent them higher?
We'll tell you what our team discovered, and a new holdup in the global supply chain as demand for goods surges during the pandemic. It is Friday, February 19th. I'm Mark Stewart with the Wall Street Journal, and this is what's news. We begin with a developing story from the United Kingdom, where its Supreme Court ruled Uber was required to pay minimum wage and other benefits to a group of former drivers. It's a setback for Uber and gig economy companies in worldwide battles over their employment model. The decision upheld lower court decisions that granted the group of drivers a type of UK employment status at Uber. The company had appealed those rulings, maintaining that its car service and food delivery drivers are independent contractors without employee rights. As we've been reporting all week, the fallout of severe winter weather in Texas is far-reaching. More than 14 million people in the state are without safe drinking water. Cities including Austin, Houston, and San Antonio are under boil water notices until Monday. The state's governor, Greg Abbott, and President Biden spoke Thursday evening. WSJ White House reporter Ken Thomas has details.
The White House said Biden told Abbott that the federal government would continue to work hand in hand with the state and local authorities. The White House approved an emergency declaration for Texas last weekend, but Biden told Abbott during the call that the administration was ready if Texas or other parts of the region needed additional federal disaster support. White House national security advisors have been monitoring the storm, and FEMA has been rushing generators and food and blankets to Texas. White House officials say they will be in close coordination with Texas during the weekend.
The power outages and supply problems tied to the storm are constraining operations at restaurants and supermarkets. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen defended the size of the Biden administration's $1.9 trillion relief package. Speaking on CNBC, she said she hopes the measure will be enacted in the coming weeks and that the administration expects the long-run benefits of the bill will outweigh the costs. On the topic of inflation, she said that it's a risk, but added the rate has been low for many years, noting the Federal Reserve can deal with the risk by raising interest rates. We are reporting exclusively that IBM is exploring the sale of its IBM Watson Health business. According to people familiar with the matter, plans could include a sale to a private equity firm, an industry player, or a merger with a blank check company. It's part of a broader strategy by IBM's new CEO to streamline the company and become more competitive in cloud computing. It isn't clear how much the business might fetch in a sale, and there may not be one. Groups representing major tech companies, including Facebook, Google, and Amazon, are challenging Maryland's new online advertising tax in a lawsuit filed Thursday. They argue that it's an improper levy on the internet that will unfairly hit small businesses. Maryland legislators who pushed for the tax argued that big online advertising companies haven't been paying their fair share in the state. The suit will be closely watched as other cash-strapped states look to the burgeoning online economy as a new source of tax revenue. On today's calendar, we'll get a look at the housing market when data on existing home sales for January is released today. As we mentioned last night on the show, some of the key players in the recent frenzy involving GameStop faced questions from lawmakers at a hearing in Washington. One question you may be asking is how users of the social media platform Reddit and the Wall Street Bets Forum make their stock picks. WSJ Markets reporter Caitlin Ostroff went through a lot of data to find some common factors. Caitlin joins me now. Good morning.
Good morning.
Caitlin, let me start by asking you this. How did you and your colleagues even begin to try and figure this out?
We were looking at this, you know, frenzied trading that was happening in GameStop and then other stocks like AMC and Costs. And we were kind of sitting there going, you know, like, what exactly happened within the Wall Street Bets community that actually sent these shares going off, that actually sent them higher? And then we got to thinking, you know, there's probably a bunch that were also promoted and probably didn't take off. And those are the ones that we don't see or hear about because, you know, there's no obvious sign. And so we started thinking, you know, how can we actually try and parse this out? How can we try and figure out, like, what actually makes a Reddit post or a the post talk actually wind up, you know, becoming the new favorite of Wall Street Bets?
So you found some common traits. These picks aren't completely arbitrary.
No. So Wall Street Bets has what's called a due diligence post, which is basically the type of post that people will tag when they're saying, you know, I think that a company is going to do really well for these reasons. And they basically take it as the opportunity to make their pitch, to make their argument. And people go through them and they decide whether that post has merit. And so a lot of these seem to be linked to these due diligence posts. If a person makes a strong enough argument, they think the valuation is cheap enough, there's a bit of news that acts as a catalyst, you know, that can be a really good starting point for a stock to start taking off. And we saw that with shares like BlackBerry. But you don't always get that. Sometimes people make these pitches and these arguments and they just fall flat. And so it seems very similar in some ways to the pros where, you know, there are people who get in on the hype after the share is already rising. And you definitely have that Wall Street Bets mentality of, you know, I'm going to buy GameStop because I think it's still going up. But it doesn't usually start that way. It is linked very much to the pros in that they're looking at, like, what actual reasons it might have to go up.
You can read Caitlin's story right now on WSJ.com. Caitlin, many thanks.
Thanks so much.
Just ahead, new complications in getting items from the factory to your home. We'll discuss after the break.
The Claude 3 model family from Anthropic is your one-stop shop for enterprise AI. With models at every point on the price-performance curve, you no longer have to make trade-offs between intelligence, speed, and cost. Claude 3 Opus sets new industry benchmarks for intelligence. Sonnet strikes the perfect balance between skills and speed. And Haiku is the fastest and lowest-cost model on the market, perfectly designed for high-volume, high-speed use cases. Join the thousands of enterprises who trust Anthropic to keep them at the frontier. Visit anthropic.com/Claude today.
Earlier in the week, we told you about the bigger-than-expected surge in consumer spending in January. For those purchases to get to you, they first have to navigate a complicated path around the world, from factory to store to consumer. But there's a problem, one that you've probably never even thought about. Right now, there's a serious shortage of shipping containers, those 40-foot steel boxes that carry goods from place to place. And that's slowing down the global supply chain. My colleague Joe Wallace has been spending some time reporting on this, and he joins me now from London. Hi, Joe.
Hi, Mark. Hope you're well.
All is well here. Thank you. Joe, let's first lay out the problem. Why is there a shortage of these shipping containers, and why are they so important in the first place?
So 40-foot steel containers are really the backbone of the international trading system. They're the big boxes you see piled up on the back of cargo ships, and several just went past on a freight train outside my window. They're in short supply right now for two reasons, really. One is a reflection of a big change in consumer behavior that's taken place in the US and other Western economies during the pandemic. Because we're all in various degrees of lockdown, we're spending less money on things like holidays and restaurants and transport, and much more on goods. So think of, you know, people buying new desks for their home offices and televisions and things like that. And a lot of these goods are imported. So there's been a huge rise in demand for these containers to import goods, particularly from Asia. And at the same time, the pool of available containers has declined because the rate at which containers are flowing through ports has slowed quite considerably. That's both because there are health precautions at ports to make sure that cargo ships aren't bringing coronavirus into ports like those of Los Angeles and Long Beach, and also because a lot of port workers have sickened with the virus, so there's a shortage of workers. So you've got very high demand for containers, falling supply, and that's pushed container rates through the roof.
All right, so let's talk about the impact of this. Are certain items getting caught up and seeing delays?
Not all commodities move by container, but higher value commodities, things like refined sugar, refined metals like aluminium and coffee, do often move in containers. Increasingly, they have done over the past few decades. And so in some of these markets, we're seeing quite a big impact. Some of the traders we spoke to have had delays of several weeks finding containers in ports in Asia. So that's pushing back deliveries of metal into places like Rotterdam in Europe. The sugar market is quite an interesting example. India has had a bumper sugar harvest this year. So one might expect that to flood the global market and push sugar prices down. But in fact, because people are struggling to get refined sugar out of India, refined sugar prices are rising. And that's in order to incentivize sugar refiners in the Middle East to produce more sugar so that consumers outside India can get their sugar.
You mentioned prices. Could this issue lead to higher inflation?
Yeah, so economists and traders think that the container shortage is one of several factors that's going to lead to a short-term acceleration in inflation in the next few months. Another key factor being the rebound in energy prices from the energy price slump last year. In the commodity market in particular, you have traders run on very thin profit margins, so they are looking to pass the extra transportation costs, the extra container rates onto their customers, which will feed through in some way to higher consumer prices.
And finally, Joe, I want to talk about what happens next. Is there an end in sight to all of this?
Yes and no. So normally we would expect container rates to come down after the Lunar New Year holiday around about now. That's not expected to happen this year. They're expected to remain really quite high through to the point in the summer when they would normally start to pick up again. So at least in the near term, there's no let up in sight. Longer term, people think these, you know, higher container rates will start to come down, in particular if the vaccines are successful in bringing the virus under control. You would expect consumers to spend less on goods and go back to revert to kind of pre-pandemic patterns of consumption, spending more on services, and then demand for these containers will eventually recede.
Joe Wallace in London. Joe, thanks so much.
Thanks, Mark. Always a pleasure.
And finally, you may have noticed some items missing from your favorite fast food menu during the pandemic. Many companies have removed less popular, complicated items, helping to reduce the need for supplies and training for workers. For example, McDonald's has limited its all-day breakfast. Taco Bell hasn't budged on its decision to drop Mexican pizza. Customers are signing online petitions and taking to social media to bring back their fast food favorites. McDonald's said it's considering how to restore its all-day breakfast. And after a torrent of tweets, Taco Bell said it would bring back cheesy fiesta potatoes and its spicy potato soft taco in March. The CEO of its parent company, Yum Brand, said Mexican pizza could also make a return. And that's what's news for Friday. We're back tonight with a new show, and of course, we're updating the news on WSJ.com and the Journal app. I'm Mark Stewart with the Wall Street Journal. Make it a good weekend, and thanks for listening.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.